we have, as a country, we have gone through a season, as a society, actually as human beings in the world, we've gone through some really challenging times that has really caused some people to fall into isolation. Some people's life has been devastated. People's life has been broken, shattered, all those kind of things through this pandemic season and all the things that have followed the pandemic. But what I want you to know today is that, you know what, God is still on the throne. The best days are out in front of us and not behind us. And what we have to do is we have to get on board with God's plan and God's purpose for our life. And when we do, we can become overcomers and live out that thing that God has created us to be and do in this world. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. I'm going to title today's message, Beyond the Bag. Beyond the Bag. Because really, a lot of people feel like they're stuck in a bag. They kind of feel like they're just wasting away and they're just, you know, some form of trash. Their life is all used up. The past has defined them and they feel like they've just kind of been laid out beside the street for the garbage man to come pick them up and take them to the landfill. And, you know, life may have some meaning after that, they think. But I want you to know today that God says you can have meaning to your life now. It doesn't have to wait for the future. It doesn't have to wait until you're in the landfill. God actually has meaning for your life now. So I want to talk about living beyond the bag. The bag being a place where we feel wasted. We feel maybe that we don't have any purpose, any destination because of what has happened in the world around us or happened to us in our own individual lives. But God's word has something significant to say about this, and we're going to talk about it a little bit. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn it to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Now, Ephesians 2:10 is the life verse of Valorous Church. I often speak of this verse in the weekend services. Not many weekends that don't go by that we don't speak of this particular verse. But today we want to unpack this a little bit and help us all learn how to live beyond the bag and live together in the great plan that God has for us to live as a people or as a church. And this is what the scripture says. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece." Again, it takes the individualism out of this and it's referring to more than one. It says, "We are a masterpiece in the Creator's hand. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus." So that means that Christ Jesus gives us new passion, gives us new purpose, gives us new identity. And it goes on to say, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And so what this passage tells us is God had something in mind when he designed human beings. And he had something in mind when he designed us uniquely as male and female. And it's so much more than just living here on earth, having a happy family, going to school, getting an education, going and getting a job, and having some grandkids, and eventually doing something else. No. Life has so much more meaning. And what happens is when some of those things that people put their hope and energy in, they don't play out, then they feel stuffed away. They feel kind of like they don't have any purpose anymore. And what God wants to do today is he wants to raise our thinking, open our eyes to realize that when we come to Christ Jesus and we put our faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that gives us full access to our Creator, so our Creator can speak into our life so that we can rise up and become the masterpiece that he has created us to be. God has a purpose for your life. But if you think your purpose is to just suck in air, live a happy life, and then die and go to heaven one day, chances are you find yourself in the back. And you find yourself not living life on purpose with a great, great passion in your heart and be everything that God has designed you to be. And so, again, the reason people feel this way sometimes is because some things have happened to them in life. Now, I have a lot of items in this bag, and I'm going to dump them out because when you just look at it at first glance, it looks like just a, well, it does look like a bunch of junk, you know, and a bunch of trash. But every one of these things had purpose at some point in time. And you know, had some sort of value. This is a palmetto limb. And it had value because it's dried up. And yesterday afternoon, I found it laying on the side of the road. And I decided to put it in the trash bag because I said, you know, we can teach a principle with that palmetto limb that I put in the trash bag. And then I made my way down an old fence row, and on that fence row, I found some other things that have kind of rusted up. You can't really see the wire wrapped around this old burlap and cloth, but there's a piece of old rusted wire in there. And I said, well, shoot, this old cut up thing and rusted thing may hurt someone and, you know, stab them and they have to go get a tetanus shot and all that good stuff. So, you know, maybe it belongs in the bag, and I put it in the bag. I wonder how many of us feel that way today, that our life is just beyond repair, beyond any significance. And really this verse speaks into God taking people from different backgrounds, bringing them together for his unique purpose, and that's to live out his plan for their life. And God is building a masterpiece. You know what God builds masterpieces out of? It's things that feel wasted away. It's things that the enemy believes that or makes believe that all your life is just some stuffing in a bag. There's numerous things here. There's old rusty screws, old pieces of leather, you know, old pieces of cracked barn wood. Anybody here feel like an old piece of cracked barn wood today? Come on. You know? But again, these are just random pieces. And they don't have any significance anymore unless there's a designer that sees purpose in those things and can put them together. And honestly, there was a designer that saw significance in all these random things that are stuffed in this bag. And his name is Will Williams. Will Williams is a young man who has belonged to the life of this church, and he's an incredible designer. He's an incredible artist. And he saw a picture many, many years ago in his head. And he said, well, that picture that I see in my head has significant meaning. So I want to take all these unique items and put them together in order to make this incredible portrait. And today you can find his portrait down in Myrtle Beach at the historic Myrtle Beach Colored School Museum and Education Center. It's down in the heart of Myrtle Beach. But Will took all these various items and he created an incredible portrait. I mean, things that were just like this stuff stuffed in the bag. And this is what he created. They're going to show it to you here on the side screens if you're at home. There it is. There's the portrait. Now, I want him to keep that there for just a few minutes. Because, again, Will didn't just see old palmetto limbs laying on the side of the road and stuff in the back. He saw something that could become part of the fabric of this incredible portrait. And so you understand that this portrait isn't a painting. It's actual tangible items. It's leather. It's old string. It's old rusty nails. It's wire. It's sweet grass. It's palmetto things. It's all these things that old canvas that we'll put together to create this amazing portrait. And the reason I show you this today is because we have a God who is a great designer. And he has designed you with unique purpose. But the world will try to define who you are. And then when that doesn't work out and you don't rise up to the occasion of who God says you can be, the enemy will stuff you away in an old dark place called this earth, and you'll just waste away and never have this heart of amazing, amazing purpose. But if you're a human being in this room today, which I think most of us are, then what I need you to know today is God reaches into the darkness, into the depths of the dark, isolated, devastated destruction of this world that sin has caused. And the Bible says, by his powerful hand, he is able to bring out each and every one of us. And he can put us out on display in the wonderful light and put us together to be this incredible, incredible masterpiece. And today we're going to talk about what it means to be this masterpiece. Because in reality, what I think is sometimes people say, well, yeah, I'm a masterpiece. Look at my makeup. Look at my muscles. Look at my outfit. Look at what I live in. Look who I belong to. Look at my bloodline. And God says, no, no, no. I'm a God who it doesn't matter what color your hair is, what size your waist is. I don't care what ethnic background you come from, that without me telling you your purpose and in rising you up to live in your purpose, then all you will ever be is wasted away in a dark place. But if you would so dare step in to becoming this amazing masterpiece that I am putting on display, pay close attention now, not for other people to see, but for the powers and principalities, Ephesians 3:10, by the way, for the powers and principalities to see my incredible wisdom of how I can take things out of diverse places, diverse people, put them together and create a masterpiece. So the dark powers, so the powers and principalities in the heavenly places can see my incredible, infinite wisdom. See, God is doing a work in the unseen realm. But we tend to see with our eyes and only think about what we see instead of the unseen things that we can't see. And what I want to declare to you today, it takes faith to see what God desires for you to see in the unseen realm. But he's taken human beings out of dark places and spaces. He's putting them together and he's building this divine masterpiece. And again, we are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good thing that God designed for us together to do before the foundations of the world. In other words, God had something in mind when he created human beings, and what he had in mind was human beings to be a reflection of who he is in this earth. Jesus said it this way, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. He says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone may praise your heavenly Father. And so if we're going to be this masterpiece, we have to understand today what being the masterpiece really looks like. And again, what the masterpiece first and foremost looks like is a people that are united in purpose. united in purpose. Unity is what God is after through his people. Now, I know we're diverse people from, and we have diverse thought processes and all these kind of things. But what God says is, I am building a masterpiece that is united around a single purpose. And that purpose is realizing who I am and who God has created me to be. And he has created me to be a part of his amazing design, but I'm not the single part of his amazing design. Let me show you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 says it this way. It says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. And so if the church is God's masterpiece, the church being those who are called out of darkness, out of the bag, into the wonderful light. That's how the Bible describes the church. It's people called out, set apart for God to shine through in this world. And not only shine to other people, but again, to shine through to the powers and principalities of the universe. And so it says, we are to bind ourselves together and we are to be united in the Spirit. It goes on to say in that same passage, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, he, Jesus, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. And so it says, God has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. And that word gift there can also be translated as a special grace. Why do I bring that out to you today? Because that's what God does. See, God gives every person who begins to come underneath the leadership and lordship of Christ, he gives them a special grace. He gives them a special empowerment, because that's what grace is. Grace is an empowerment of God in your life. And the Bible says God gives every single person a special empowerment. And it goes on to say, so that we can do certain things well. And it goes, and in Ephesians 4:10, it says, the same one who descended is the one who ascended, speaking of Christ, higher than all of the heavens, pay close attention. Why? So that he might fill the entire universe with himself. So what this passage tells us is God is filling this whole entire universe with himself by taking diverse people, but diverse parts, and uniquely empowering them, pull them together with one purpose in mind, and it's to basically fill the entire or reflect God to the entire world. The reason Jesus came was, one, to forgive humanity of their sin, missing the mark of God's glorious standard. But two, to empower each one of us who trust in who he is, whether we're outside of being a Jew at that particular time when this was written, being a Jew or a Gentile. In other words, no matter what our background is, Jesus is able to bring us into God's family. He's able to forgive humanity of their sin, bring us into God's family, and empower us, not based on our ethnic background, but empower us with his power to do certain things well, so that together we may permeate God's presence in this world. Sounds a lot like Genesis 1, the very first chapter in the Bible, doesn't it? The Bible says that God created both man and woman in his image, in his likeness. And he put them in the garden. He says, you need to rule and reign over the earth together in your differences, work together, be fruitful and multiply and permeate this earth with my amazing presence. See, sin took humanity off the mark. That's what sin is missing the mark of God's glorious standard. That's his glorious standard for your life and my life. But what happens is, when we make life about anything else, then we become a person that ends up in the bag, and God says, now I can reach into that bag, no matter what your background is, and I can uniquely gift you or grace you or empower you. And if you would so dare take the empowerment I give you and you would put it together with the other pieces, then this masterpiece could begin to shine in the world. What I've designed would begin to shine in the world. We have to be unified on the purpose of why we are here. We have to be unified on what Jesus has done for humanity. Again, we can have different opinions about the color shirts we wear. I'm sorry, I know you don't like my little polka dotted shirt, but I do. But at the end of the day, the reality of this is that's not what God's talking about unifying around. It's the color of my shirt. Or by the way, the color of the carpet or the style of music in a church. God's talking about if a church would uniquely take their empowerment and put it together with the other pieces and realize why they are on the planet, then this amazing masterpiece could begin to be displayed in the earth. You want to see yourself become a part of an amazing masterpiece? Out of darkness into the wonderful light? Then I'm asking you, are you taking your unique grace and putting it together with the other pieces to basically unify it with the other pieces to display who God is to the earth? Because the first thing this masterpiece is all about is people being unified in a purpose. He goes on to talk not only about unifying, but he goes on to talk about rising up to being all that God has designed us to be. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, that we should imitate God himself. In other words, when we are in Christ Jesus, the goal is for us together become an imitation of who God is in the earth. And so I wrote this down. We have to rise up to the standard. Most people think, man, you know, I've come to church, I believe in Jesus and he's forgiven me of my sin. Now I don't need to be transformed or I don't need to be changed and they don't rise to the standard. You know, God has a standard. God has a standard. And at the end of the day, none of us can empower ourselves to live up to that standard. But with the empowerment of God in our life together, we can begin to live up to that standard. And I wanna show it to you because the Bible says it this way in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. It says, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead and Christ will give you a light. And so here, the writer is saying, you wanna see this masterpiece begin to shine in the earth in a powerful, powerful way and you become a part of what God is creating in the local church. He's saying, rise up to the standard. You say, well, how does that happen? How do I rise up? Well, it goes on to say in Ephesians 4, verses 22 and 23, we do it by throwing off our old sinful nature and our former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on the new nature created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And it says in Ephesians 4:30, that same chapter, it says, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. So again, God, by his powerful hand, he reaches into darkness, he brings us out, no matter what our background is, he puts us together to do incredible things. But he says, if you're going to be this incredible masterpiece, my expectation is for my Holy Spirit to begin to teach you the way to live. You need to put off former things or old things that tend to make you waste away and put on the new things of Christ Jesus. So we have to make ourselves ready to be taught by the Holy Spirit. It's the main function of the Spirit of God in your life. The main function of the Holy Spirit in your life is to be a counselor or a teacher. And I like to say it this way. The teacher is always ready to teach any of us how to rise to the standard. And a matter of fact, he will create growth paths for us to be challenged to rise up to the standard if we're willing to pay attention to the teacher. The problem isn't God don't want to teach you. The problem is the student. don't want to come to class. And I need all of us to understand this today. None of us are perfect, but we are striving to be made perfect in Christ Jesus, putting the old stuff behind us, putting the new stuff of God on, coming together, unified of why we are here as a church and to display this character to the world. But people will come and say, well, yeah, but what about this? What about that? Well, the Bible says, look, be an example, stop making excuses. Let me show it to you. He says it in Ephesians 5, verses 6 and 9. He says, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins. For the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in these things that these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. So live as people of the light. For the light within you produces only what is good and right and true. So the Holy Spirit of God is the teacher that is teaching us to put off old things and put on the new things of God so that we can come together, be unified, and be this glorious portrait of who he desires for us to be to the powers and principalities of the universe. And to be a part of God's masterpiece, we have to be ready and willing to participate. And so, again, there's all kinds of religious words for it. Some people call this sanctification from the old school. But really, what's happening is God is purging the old out and putting the new in, and we don't get it right every time. But understand this, that, you know, God empowers you to be a part of his family, no matter what your background is or how far off course you have gotten. So he empowers you. He comes to forgive you of sin. He comes to do it through Christ Jesus, through the cross of Christ, the perfection of Christ, the power of Christ, and the resurrection. And he makes you a part of his holy family. But when you step out of the darkness into the wonderful light, there is an expectation for you to grow, for you to mature, for you to become more and more like God and play your part and do something with your life. Yeah, and so many people are looking for prosperity in life. And God gives prosperity, but he gives prosperity to the doer, to the one that is stepping in to the blessing, doing what he has designed them to be. And people are like, God, give me prosperity for this and give me prosperity for that. But God prospers those who are righteous. God prospers those who step in to his plan. God prospers his church if his church will be who God has created us to be in the world around us. The church is not in lack. The church is not in lack. The church is here to be a revelation of God's amazing power and strength in this world, but we have to participate. Amen. With the teacher. We have to step in to the amazing plan. Stop making excuses. I live in the same world you live in. The pandemic come against me just like it did you. But so many people are off course right now and stuffed in the back and they're blaming it on the pandemic. The pandemic made me do this. The pandemic put me in isolation. The pandemic made me get lazy. Well, look, let's get over the pandemic and get on with the plan of God and be who God has created us to be. And again, I'm not being disrespectful. I'm telling you, the hand of the enemy is trying to paralyze his people. It's trying to say, God has no purpose for you. Just get in the bag. You know, the world's going to hell in a trash bag. Just get in the bag. Are you kidding me? No. My Bible tells me, for those who are believers in Christ Jesus, the best days are in front of us, not behind us. God's word, my Bible tells me, that God is making all things new. He is making a new heaven, and he's making a new earth. He's making a new you, and he's making a new me. And together, he is doing a grand masterpiece to put on display for all eternity. And my friend, God's inviting every one of us to be a part of this masterpiece. And so we can choose to believe it by faith, or we can sit idle and do nothing. But God wants us to step into this amazing, amazing opportunity because it is the testimony of God's power. Amen. The testimony to the authorities and the powers and the principalities in the unseen realm. It's God, the God of all gods, the Most High God, as the Bible refers to him. It says that he can reach into utter darkness and he can transform lives from diverse backgrounds and put them together to glorify him in all the world and all the nations beyond any other God. He is the Most High God. He is the creator of all. He is the creator of all, in all, and he works through all. But my friends, we have to step into being this amazing, amazing masterpiece. We have to unify in purpose. We have to rise to the standard. And the last thing I wrote down, if we want to shine and be this incredible masterpiece, we have to stand firm and be faithful together. Again, we can't fade with our faith. God is looking for those who stand faithful. And stand faithful to the end. Not making a one-time hit wonder, you know, a decision of, hey, I'm going to be a Christ follower today, but I'm not going to be one tomorrow. No, no, no. God is not looking for your profession of faith. God is looking at your life of faithfulness, that he is God and he is in charge and he's amazing and he's a savior and he's an empower, and you stay faithful to what he's doing in this world all the way to the end. God is looking for faithfulness. He's looking for people who say, man, I'm going to be a part of the plan regardless of the circumstances, because God will do what he says he's going to do. And the enemy is constantly lying. And the strategy of the enemy is always to divide and conquer. To make you think it's just about you or your color or your race or your language or your people group or this or that. The enemy loves to divide. So he takes God's diversity and he begins to divide it up and categorize it. And he's saying, man, you know, you're special if you're part of that group or you're part of this group. No, you're special if you belong to Christ Jesus because of what he did on a cross, shedding his blood for you, defeating death and resurrecting from a grave. But the enemy will constantly lie to you, and he doesn't stop. He doesn't let off the gas pedal. He will not quit. He will keep coming at you and at you through every means, every scheme, and everything possible known to our brain. But that's why the Bible says we got to stand and be ready for battle always. You know, surround yourself with the right people, but look what it says. The writer says in Ephesians 6, he says a final word. He says, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. In his grace, in his mighty power, in the grace that he's given you as a person, the empowerment he has given us as a church. It says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. All the strategies of the devil. It goes on to say, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. People, the unseen world is as real as the seen world. And it is operating right now. But the Bible says that the unseen world, there's dark powers that are scheming all kind of evil plans to deceive us people. He says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. I love that. After the battle, you'll still be standing firm. Standing on Christ Jesus, standing on the resurrection of Jesus, standing on the ascension of Christ, standing on the return of Christ, standing on God's kingdom, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto me as well. Stand firm by faith. you'll be standing after the battle. My friend, the battle's not over. And it's not going to be over until Jesus returns for his church. And the Bible says that we can stand firm on Christ Jesus and be this amazing masterpiece. Don't you shrink back. Don't you pull over to the side. Operate in your empowerment, in your gift mix. The church needs you. The church needs its people to step up, and let's work together to reflect God to this amazing earth. You know, people are falling by the wayside. People are falling off track. But you know, God is a God who can empower you, pull you out of darkness, put you into the wonderful light, and begin to build you back up in your amazing faith so you can become all God has created you to be. Bible says, let's stop making excuses and let's be an example. Church, it's time for us, the people of God, to stand firm on Christ Jesus, operating in our various gifts, being generous in all that we do, because we are not a church of lack. We're a church of prosperity, and we're prospering in the goodness of God, the grace of God, the empowerment of God, and we will shine his face upon this earth. His church is not in lack. Let's operate by a faith. Let's work together to see God do the amazing. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. I pray today, God, that your face shine upon us. That God, we would be a people that understand you are creating a masterpiece. God, words can't even describe what you're creating through your church. God, as you rescue people out of darkness and bring them into the wonderful light of Christ Jesus, God, it is simply amazing to watch your hand at work. God, you are looking for transformation. You're not just looking for someone to make a profession, but you're looking for the Holy Spirit to intersect their life, impact their life, and raise them up and encourage them by the power of your amazing grace. And so, God, I pray today we would rise up. We would stand together. We would stand firm, and we would work together to reflect you into this earth. God, you're amazing. You are for us. You are not against us. God, you are building us up to be something amazing for your glory and your majesty. So, God, I pray you would unify us. We would testify of your goodness and your greatness. And God, we would magnify your name throughout all ages. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.